Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and today I'd like to look at, one more time, St. Paul's letter to the Colossians. Today at Mass, the church begins a series of verses on St. Paul's writing to Timothy, but there's some important stuff from Colossians to kind of wrap up, and I'll be able to take up Timothy next week as we move on. But yesterday I ended up in a very important section in Colossians where Paul instructs us and helps give us direction on what it means for us to live as disciples, to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. And today, what we see in a very broad way in the church is that no matter what poll you read, there's one study after another that's done, it's been going on for the last number of years, that just communicates so clearly that a really disturbing percentage of baptized Catholics, even baptized Christians, are not living and walking in the way that St. Paul is describing, and that there's a real disconnect, whether, for example, the number of people who, you know, like 70% of Catholics don't believe in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, which is a shocking reality. And, number two, almost that many Catholics don't necessarily think Jesus is God, which is even more shocking, in my opinion. There's all kinds of ways in which we as Catholics, people baptized Catholics, live the same habits and immoral habits and are embracing the same worldviews that people who don't even believe in Christ are living. So what's happening is the broader culture, as the values and the beliefs of the broader culture, the way of life of the people around us continues to change, more and more people are just drifting with the culture and they're conforming to the culture and they're walking away from Christ rather than walking in his footsteps, whether they believe it or not, whether they see it or not, that's just a fact. And much of the church is in a Laodicean condition, like the book of Revelation talks. There's a lukewarmness. There's a desire to be in the world in a way and to be of the world, not just in the world, but of the world as well, and to taste everything the world has to give, even the stuff that's forbidden. And wanting to live just like those around us, don't want our life to be different in any other way. And so what's being revealed, and I think the Lord is allowing us to see the reality and the condition of where we are and the sins of the church and things are being revealed at this time, the Lord is allowing a deep purification to come to the church. And one of the things that's happening is the church is a vineyard and the Father is the vine dresser. Jesus is the vine, we're the branches. And the Father watches over this vineyard of his Son. The church is the Father's gift to the Son. And the Father expects the church to be filled with the passionate love for Jesus and alive to the infinite value of the sacrifice of Jesus and the profound, and to have a heart that's humble and profoundly receptive to the gift of the offering of his life and the new life that he gives us for salvation. The Father is not happy when those who bear the name of Jesus are indifferent to the real treasures and we're seeking after idols. We're seeking after fool's gold with our lives. And that's where our heart is, in the pursuit of fool's gold. And we play this strange game of, you know, keeping one toe in the church, but our heart is really somewhere else. We got to buy a little bit of fire insurance because just in case this is all true, we don't want to go to hell, but we want to at least stay out of that. But for now, we definitely don't want to get too serious or be too radical. And this just breaks, this reveals the lack of conversion in the mind and heart of people. And they don't know Christ. And Christianity is to death to self and life in Christ, as we've been reading here, as St. Paul's been exhorting us to. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live by faith in the Son of God. Jesus said, if you want to come after me, make sure before you come that you take a good, clear, deep look at what I'm requiring of you. Jesus sets the terms of discipleship, not me. He said, if you want to come after me, you must deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow. So to deny oneself is to deny that very thing that's being exercised, that's the flesh in us, or the freedom to just say, no, I'm going to do something else. It's going to be my will be done. I'm going to define what this whole journey on earth is going to be for myself. We certainly have the power to do that. He's given us the power to do that. But a disciple has come to terms with understanding who Jesus is, has seen the pearl of great price, has seen the value of Christ, the inestimable value of Jesus, and knowing Jesus. And a disciple is one who freely gives up all the other attachments to the world that are inconsistent with God's plan and purpose, freely gives them up. Now, we might have some struggle letting go. We need God's help and his mercy and the help of the church and sacraments and the rest of it, for sure. But the bottom line, the decision is what St. John Paul described in his document, Redemptoris Missio. He said that a disciple is someone who has exercised faith, is converted. And he said conversion is a faith that is from the outset total and radical. It is normal to be totally and radically committed to Jesus, to be single-minded, passionate, all out, all in. That's the normal Christian life. And that's what the Father expects of us as we receive the great, precious gift of his Son. The trade from the point of view of the flesh doesn't look that great. Like, oh man, I want all this. I want all the other stuff the world gives. I want to pursue all those things. If that's where we are, certainly that's a temptation. But if we're not at the place yet where we've made the proper valuation, we haven't done the calculus right. We don't see the equation and make the right appraisal. We're not seeing the majesty and the glory and the supremacy of Jesus and what we're given in him. The world is nothing compared to it. And the fact that we're still so deeply attached to the world. Remember Jesus in the temptation in the desert when the devil put him up at the pinnacle of the temple or whatever and said, hey, look at the whole world. Look at all these kingdoms. Look at the gold and the glitter and the power. I'll give it all to you. Now, he's the king of this world and he could do that. And what did Jesus say? Jesus obviously rejected it. And he said the devil was tempting him to say, you can have it if you bow down to me, because that's what's going on whether we see it or not. The devil doesn't present the things of the world that we can get addicted to and attached to in the wrong kind of way. He doesn't just help serve it up for us and at the beginning of it all say, hey, what I want you to do, I'm going to help you see this. I'm going to try to seduce you into exalting these things and being attached to them so you can bow down and worship me. He doesn't say that. It's not how it works. But what he does is he leads us and he seduces us. And he seeks to deceive us and darken our minds to say, there's where I'm going to find happiness. More money, more money, more money. Someone else's wife, that possession, that thing, this is where I'm going to find happiness. And we buy the lie and our minds get darkened. We get more and more enslaved and we end up serving him. That's what he's after, to make us slaves, because he wants to mock us and destroy us. He's a liar and a deceiver. And a disciple is someone who gets it and gets the battle and understands, not only do I want to give it all and turn in the other direction because I don't want to go the way of slavery ultimately, but my mind has been touched, my eyes have been opened, my heart is open. I see Christ and the gift that is Jesus. And I'm trading up 100%. I am cashing in on substance and meaning and happiness and glory and transformation and eternal participation in the life of God. Are you kidding? This is it. And the doorway is Christ. And becoming his is what it's all about, and loving him, which means obeying him. So that's what a disciple does. And Paul's assuming here, okay, now that you see it, cooperate with it. Put off that old stuff that you're wearing like a coat. Put on a new coat. Put on a new way of life. Start living differently. Well, you can say, I can't. Well, yes, you can. You have a new power in you. You don't realize yet what's in you. Greater that he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now, you've got power and grace to walk in his footsteps and do these things that he's calling you to do, to have a heart filled with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and stop boasting. Forgive one another. Don't hold grievances against each other, right? Walk in love and let Jesus define love. That's the only love that matters. That's the only love that is, ultimately, especially for a disciple. And he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And as I was saying, the Father is the vine dresser. The Father in this hour, in this time in history, is cutting off the dead wood that's in the church. The dead wood is people who aren't producing any fruit because they're living off really a different vine, the vine of this world, and pretending and fooling themselves to think they're living off the vine that is Jesus. And their branches bear no fruit, no fruit of the kingdom, the very things that he's talking about here, the fruits of the Spirit, nor bringing the gospel to the nations, to other people. That passion's not there. The interest isn't there. They've got dull, sleepy spirits, and they're dead. They're dying inside. And so the Lord, the Father has to prune, or he has to even cut off the branches, seriously cut them off, because people need to see their true condition in relationship to God. They can't live in a condition pretending that they're actual followers of Jesus. You can't simply follow Jesus on your own terms. We can't do that. We have to receive what he calls, what he describes as the life of a disciple. So back to Colossians today, Paul then picks up, just want to end the passage that we were given this week. It ends this way. It says, Paul says, "And let the peace of Christ now control your hearts." Peace comes from where? To be rightly ordered to God, as we give to God what belongs to God. And the hostility, the separation from God that sin produced is now destroyed through the life, passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And the peace now that passes all understanding can be given to us in the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So Paul says, live in it now as you're called to it in one body. So it's peace with God and peace with one another. And maintaining the spirit of unity and the bond of peace, Paul reminds us in Ephesians, is a really big deal. And that's what we should be doing. You see the hostility that's in the church today? How many people are fighting for the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace? He then says, and be thankful. This is one of the gifts. This is one of the realities that characterizes the Christian life. No matter what the circumstance, Paul says, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Give thanks in any and all circumstances. Why? Because nothing in this world can change the course of my life. I mean, in this life, yes, but the ultimate direction of my life. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. So I've got a lot to rejoice in. Paul says in another place, rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks in all circumstances. That is a good thing to think about many times during the day, friends. You wake up in the morning, do that. You go to bed at night, do that. At different times of the day, do that. When you're disappointed, do that. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances. It's not faking it. You know the pain, you know the sorrow, but I can rejoice in God's plan at work in my life. The relationship that I'm a son of God, child of God, temple of the Holy Spirit, destined for glory, loved by God, therefore my life has meaning. He then goes on, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. This is big. If you want to grow in the Lord, if you're not, friends, reading the Word of God with some regularity on a daily basis, internalizing it, you're missing so much. But also, you're not going to grow very much. Your mind's not going to get renewed. And then I love what he goes on to say, as in all wisdom, you teach and admonish one another, which we should be doing, which is what I'm doing today. And he said, sing psalms and hymns with spiritual songs with gratitude in our hearts to God. Sing songs and hymns. That's a great idea. That's also a normal part of Christian life. People who are alive in Christ in the Spirit love to sing spiritual songs to one another, to God, with gratitude in the heart. And he says, whatever you do in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Yes, amen, Lord, we want to do that. And friends, hope you can join me next week. And remember, any kind of support you can give us, your prayers and financial support, please consider doing that. God bless you. Have a good weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.